What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher, and today we're going to go over the Tennessee and Alabama basketball game. Tennessee got a big victory there. There's a little bit of football news going on, some commitments that everyone's, you know, excited about, and in the transfer portal, and so hopefully some good news coming tomorrow, so we'll preview that a little bit too. But first, we'll start out talking about the basketball and what happened there. I got the opportunity to be at that game, although the weather was kind of, you know, wasn't the best. The road was a little bit icy, but it wasn't too difficult to get to the stadium. And, you know, I'm glad I went because it was a dominating win over a red-hot Alabama team. I mean, you look at Alabama, they were undefeated in conference play up until this point. And I know they've had some struggles this year. They played some tough opponents and had some tough losses. But, you know, that's a team that can score a lot of points real quick. And, you know, if you're not careful, they can get on you in a hurry. But, yeah, Tennessee held them to, you know, within reason. And I said I think Tennessee would need to score at least 75 to win. And they held Alabama to 71. So, wasn't too far off there. Tennessee ended up winning the game 91-71, scored 50 points in the first half, so just an explosion of points early. But the big thing was that they finally got some play from some different people too that, you know, maybe had kind of been a little bit more quiet or struggled. Everybody seemed to kind of pass the ball well, wasn't a lot of stupid turnovers, just a really solid game. Shot pretty well from the floor, not too bad. Had a 48.5% on the field goal attempts and 35.7% from three. So not the best, but, you know, pretty solid. Meanwhile, they held Alabama to only 19% from three. Just did not give up a whole lot of good looks. And you know how many threes that they like to shoot. They were only able to get off 21 and only made four of those. So pretty stud defense right there. They held Alabama to 44.6% just in general on field goals. So defense was, you know, everybody stepped up and played their role. But the number one thing that really just stuck out to me was Jemiah Mashak, man. He just played his tail off from start to finish, did not take any time off. Just, you know, he dominated in that game defensively. And he really came to play. And I think back to last year when they played Alabama in Knoxville. Of course, you know, they had Brandon Miller at that point in time, and he was a stud, and, you know, he got his points and stuff, but Jemiah Mashak really locked him up a lot of that game too. So, you know, he's a Vol, man. He loves to beat Alabama, and he plays hard against them. But Mashak has been excellent, man. He's been excellent. And, you know, I say that in a game where he only scored 8 points, and eight is good for him, honestly. Like, he's not your main go-to points getter, you know. He's very unselfish, had 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He's a big guy, and you saw his minutes kind of jump up a little bit. And I mean, I would like to see his minutes continue to increase, man. He's playing good defense right now, and I think that's crucial for this team. You know, they got to have people step up in the absence of others. The only person that had a pretty off day was Josiah Jordan-James. He was 0 for 3 from the three-point line, missed, I think, 3 out of 4. From the free throw line, and his 1 point came from his one made free throw. Just wasn't his day, but, you know, you saw his minutes decrease quite a bit, down to 21 minutes. As far as points go, you had Jonas Adu with 19, Don Connect with 25, stud, Ziegler with 8, and again, very unselfish, 6 assists. That's great to see. 10 for Vescovi. It was good to see him get going a little bit. Made 2 threes from beyond the arc, so that was good. Tobey Awaka finished game with no points, but he didn't really play a whole lot. He had a couple fouls pretty quick, and it just wasn't his game to really play. JP Estrella came in kind of in relief a little bit, but had no points. DeLeon had 5 points, only played 4 minutes. So, you know, if he can continue to bring something to the table, his minutes may increase, but I just don't think they're in a position right now where they really need him to do a lot. Jordan Gainey is the big one as well, too. He's got 15 points, finally started hitting from the perimeter, doing what everybody kind of expected him to do. And I've been harder than anybody on him, I feel like, and kind of owe him an apology. I mean, you know, there's no, you know, nothing to go back and say, you know, he hasn't struggled, because he has. He's had his fair share of them. But, man, he had a solid game. And he played some really good defense as well. 3 of 5 from the three-point line, 4 of 7 on field goals. And that's only in playing 21 minutes, too. But, you know, his presence was felt. And I think, you know, when you get somebody like Triple J that's having an off day, you need somebody like that to step up. And if they can get somebody, you know, just from somewhere to kind of step up and fill that gap, if you have somebody having an off day, they're going to be fine, man. They can beat anybody, literally anybody they could beat. I mean, if they play that way right there against Kentucky, then they will shut Kentucky's offense down, and, you know, at least enough to where they can be ahead of them. And, you know, realistically, Kentucky's defense doesn't play that great. You know, Tennessee has got the best defense in the country, I think. And, you know, I just don't see, as long as they can eliminate a lot of the offensive struggles, they can score in the 80s to 90s each game, there should be no reason that they can't win out. And but I was impressed. Really good win at home, and just to build confidence. They're going on the road this weekend against Vanderbilt, so we'll talk about that as we get a little bit closer to that date. But, you know, just a really solid game. It's kind of crazy looking at the stat sheet, because they held everybody on Alabama's roster that played in the single digits of scoring outside of Mark Sears. Mark Sears scored 22 points. And, of course, you know, he's going to get his. But, you know, even him, he struggled a little bit. And, I mean, he really had to hustle to get those 22 points. I mean, it was not easy for him. But, yeah, the only people that even made threes for them was Mark Sears, Stevenson, and Walters. And, you know, there's a lot of people that can get threes and score on them in a hurry. Grant Nelson, I believe it was Grant Nelson, he fouled out. So that was always, you know, it's always fun to see that too. But as much as I hate Alabama, I will give them credit. You know, they're a very talented team with a very talented roster. You know, their game plan is to score, get a lot of points, be aggressive offensively, shoot a lot from the perimeter. But when they struggle on the accuracy and they don't get good open looks, you know, they will tend to struggle. But credit to them, they will be all right. And I think they do have a talented team. But with anybody that, you know, you lose a Brandon Miller, you're going to take a step back. It's just inevitable. It's really hard to replace that type of talent. And you don't see it back-to-back years a whole lot with those one-and-dones. But they're, you know, they're a talented team. And as much as I don't like Nate Oates, he's a talented coach. And their style of basketball can be really fun to watch when it's hitting. But it was just not their day. It just was not. And Tennessee flourished. So that was awesome to see. You know, got to troll them with Dixieland Delight. That was awesome. At the end of the game there, I couldn't help but smile. I couldn't even sing. I just couldn't help but smile. I was grinning ear to ear. It's really felt like, especially with all the struggles that's going on with their football program and the transfers leaving and all that stuff, it feels like Alabama is kind of in a really sticky point right now with their athletics. And, you know, new baseball coach for them too. After all the weird, I don't even remember exactly what happened with Brad Bohannon, something to do with betting and illegal sports bets, like on his team or against his team. It's just really odd situation with their athletics right now. You know, Nate Oates got kind of reprimanded, which is kind of a joke. We probably need to talk about that a little bit, because that was funny too. Nate Oates got kind of reprimanded verbally from Greg Sankey in the SEC, because if you didn't see, he went out and he put his hands on a Missouri player and pushed him away. Instead of just corralling his team, he decided to, you know, physically push the Missouri player when they had played in this past week. And, of course, nobody took kindly to that. And Tennessee fans were sure to troll him in Knoxville this past weekend and just let him know, like, hey, don't put your hands on our players. You know, just people just chanting at him, oh, don't push him, Nate, don't push him. There was actually a part where I thought Nate was going to get teed up for a minute, because, boy, he was getting hot on the sideline. And he could tell that he was kind of trying to be a little bit more restraint, because he's definitely not scared to show his emotions. But there was one point where he let it go a little bit. And I just thought, you know, depending on who's officiating your game, they would have teed you up right there. So he's got to learn to draw it in and be a little bit careful, especially when you're playing from behind like that. There's just no reason to get so bent out of shape. in a game that's pretty much already lost. It's just, it was kind of odd behavior, but you know, it was a good time. I enjoyed being up there. It's always fun being in Knoxville. I don't know if I'm going to any more basketball games this season. You know, it's fun to get up there and watch them, but at the same time, baseball's right around the corner too, so I'd like to plan to go to a lot of baseball games and go, you know, see them in person as much as possible, because I just, man, I'm so excited to watch them play. We'll talk about them too. You know, it's getting close. You know, February, right in the middle of February, they're starting, and they start by playing, you know, in the Ranger Stadium, playing a couple of Big 12 teams, and that's going to be a, you know, interesting couple of games, and kind of see where we stand and where we stack up against some talented other college baseball teams. If you didn't see in the preseason poll, top 25 poll, Tennessee's coming in at number 9. So that's going to be fun to keep an eye on too and kind of see how they fare. But, man, the SEC just dominates in baseball. I mean, they really dominate most sports, but they really dominate college baseball, because I think there's 6 SEC schools that was in the top 10. You had LSU, Florida, Arkansas, Vandy, Tennessee, and I think Texas A&M was the other. I think Alabama was in the top 25. You know, there's a lot of, you know, changing up and different coaches going different places too. And you don't always hear about that stuff with college baseball, but there's a lot of moving parts there too. So, you know, keep an eye on that too. But yeah, it's a fun time right now just to be a Tennessee fan, and that kind of rolls me right into the next subject of the new transfer portal pickups. So Tennessee just got a new portal pickup, Zalance Hurd. I believe he goes by Lance Hurd, but he's going to be a good pickup for the Vols. He's going to be coming in to play offensive tackle, and I think that they're, you know, going to be moving John Campbell over to right tackle is what it seems. I think Lance Hurd is going to be kind of coming in and playing that left tackle position. And I don't think it's going to be a problem for John Campbell, a guy that's as talented as him. Seemed to be a little bit of drama when it kind of seemed like he first was being told that they were going to ask to move him on the line a little bit. But I don't think there's going to be an issue there, and I think Lance Hurd's going to fit right in. But yeah, man, I'm excited to watch them work. And you know, Lance Hurd is a 5-star pickup too, so that's always a big deal. And I think that really bolsters up the offensive line, because if you go from left to right, you could be looking at, you know, you could be looking at Lance Hurd, and then you got John Campbell at right tackle. You got Cooper Mays returning. You got, you know, the guards. It's going to be a kind of a toss-up to see who plays there. You know, you get some young guys in the mix. Dane Davis is still going to be there. Jackson Lampley. Obviously, Gerald Mincy has gone to Kentucky, which is going to spark up some drama when they play Kentucky too, and that's fine. That's going to make that fun. But, you know, the offensive line is looking to really shape up and come together. And he's a big old boy, man. And also, we got another defensive lineman pickup, Jackson Moy, I believe is how it's pronounced. He's transferring in from Stanford. He's a sophomore. He is 6'2", 303 pounds, coming out of California. And he is going to be a beast on the defensive line. He's a guy that could definitely rotate in. And Rodney Garner's got an eye for people on the defensive line. So anytime you see them get somebody in the portal, you know that there's a reason they're going after them. It's not just to fill a gap or, you know, be a depth piece. You know, Rodney Garner has had his eye on him, and Rodney Garner will most definitely improve his game too. Looking at his stats from last season, he played in all 24 games in his first 2 years at Stanford. He had 37 total tackles, 3 pass deflections, 1 sack, and of course, you know, that's going up against, you know, that's in a Stanford scheme and, you know, defense. Seeing him in the SEC is going to be exciting. And just 2 really big pickups for the Vols to just bolster their line of scrimmages on both sides of the ball. But things are really looking good right now for Tennessee, and they're really not looking good for Alabama. So, you know, anytime that you can say those words, it's a good time on Rocky Top. Tomorrow we'll be awaiting some news from the quarterback in the class of 2025, George McIntyre. Seems like he put out a little video, and it seems like his top four schools is probably Tennessee, Bama, LSU, and Clemson. That was the only four teams that was really in that little video he put together. But he's been crystal balled to Tennessee. You know, with Saban departing, it happened after Saban's departure. It seems like that has some influence in George McIntyre's decision. He was also at the Tennessee basketball game this weekend, too, and saw Tennessee beat them. And he was sitting with Heupel, seemed to be enjoying it, having a good time. So that was really cool to see. You know, now the question is, with Kalen DeBoer has re-offered George McIntyre, so where, you know, what's his decision going to look like? Is he going to want to roll with the new staff at Bama? Is he going to stay with the same type of staff that's recruited him throughout his entire recruitment process at Tennessee? Could he do something wacky and unexpected, go to Clemson, LSU? I wouldn't think so, because, you know, if he's going to LSU, he's going to be sitting, you know, Nussmeier's most likely going to be their starter. And then at Clemson, of course, they've still got Cade Klubnik, so I don't think there's going to be any change there. And, you know, he's coming to learn behind Nico, who's had some time to sit on the bench and learn himself. And I think that, you know, if they can keep that train coming, you know, you'll have Nico, Jake Merklinger, and in 2025, you'll have George McIntyre. So that quarterback class will be stout. That quarterback room will be awesome. So big, big, big commitment tomorrow. Hopefully it goes our favor, but, you know, time will tell. Kids are fickle sometimes. I don't want to say that I'm like for sure that he's coming to Tennessee. Not like I have any inside scoop, but from everything I've read and seen and heard, it seems like George McIntyre is going to be a Vol. So I'm really hoping that pans out. But we'll see, and we'll talk about that on the next episode. Next episode, we'll look at the Vanderbilt basketball game coming up, kind of look what they're, you know, going to be coming in with. And, of course, Stackhouse, you know, he was a talented NBA player, talented coach. But Jerry Stackhouse, kind of a dork, and he's vented some frustrations with this Vanderbilt team. They're not good. They're struggling really, really bad. They're pretty sure they're dead last in the SEC. I don't know that they're going to win a lot of games in the SEC this season. Seems like they had a lot of talent with Scottie Pippen Jr. when he was there, but now that he's not there, there's just really no buzz around Vanderbilt. There's really no buzz around their athletics in general, you know, aside from baseball maybe, but even their baseball team has not been as good as what they have in years past. So I don't know. It's just a weird time for Vandy. It's kind of going back to their roots, I guess, being poverty, but we'll talk about them as we get closer to that on the next episode, and we'll, you know, talk about the George McIntyre decision and see how that goes too. So I appreciate you guys listening to this episode. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Like I said, if you want to, you can reach out to me on social media. Follow me on Instagram at Big Orange Buzz. Follow me on Twitter at Big Orange Buzz _. And, you know, shoot me a message. We can talk ball, talk recruitment, off season, whatever you want to talk about. So we'll see you guys in a couple days on the next episode. Talk about some more basketball and some more info. Hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and go Vols.